This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
One win in seven and a league high nine defeats at home. But hey, we're not going to talk about any of that this week because, listeners, the Saints are away from home at the weekend. And bar the teams in the top four, no other outlet in the Premier League has won more games on the road this season. It's Norwich up next themselves with just two wins in 16, and we'll be getting into all of that. We'll be very quickly touching on that loss to Newcastle. We'll be touching on a bit of takeover talk too, and naturally, we shall turn our attention to a certain pandemic spreading across the world of sport. On this, the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It's me, Matt Beadle, currently joined by Ben Stroud from the Archers Road End blog. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Matt. How's it going? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Great having you on the show, as always. Always good to have you here for the Southampton Fan Show. Now, I did say we're going to be getting into a bit of everything over the course of the next half hour or so, but we are going to start with coronavirus because, of course, Boris Johnson has recently come out and spoken to the public regarding the situation involving football, involving sport this weekend. Here is what he had to say earlier.
The scientific advice, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, is that banning such events will have little effect on the spread. But there is also the issue of the burden that such events can place on public services.
So that was Boris Johnson speaking about the coronavirus issue, of course, and how it's going to affect the world of sport. Kind of a bit of a mixed message there. He's saying that, listen, it's not going to call a halt to proceedings, but actually we need to think about how it is going to call a halt to proceedings. Ralf Hasenhüttl, earlier on today as well, was asked in his press conference just how the thought of coronavirus is maybe affecting his players.
Yeah, I think it's normal that there are in the moment more important things around us to focus on than football, and then it's not so easy to bring the focus back on the pitch if you need to. The good thing is if you're on the pitch and train, then you forget a little bit about what happens in the moment and enjoy maybe playing with your team. The atmosphere is good, but everybody when you step off the pitch is looking on the newest informations, and you can follow all over the world the problems we have with the virus, that it spread it very quick, and so it's normal that you are immediately looking.
Immediately looking. It's normal, says Ralf Hasenhüttl. That was him speaking in his press conference earlier today ahead of the Norwich game. Like I said, we're going to be discussing everything around the defeat to Newcastle, the fact that it's Norwich up next, a bit of takeover talk too. But, gents, we've got Steve Grant from Total Saints with us as well now. Hello, Steve.
Hiya, good evening.
Good evening. Great having you on. Now, I know there's plenty of football chat to be had, gents, but this issue is so big that we simply cannot ignore it. Of course, we're seeing players being infected by the virus, testing positive. One of those, of course, is former Southampton player Manolo Gabbiadini. He's come out and spoken quite openly on Twitter today and said, I want to thank everybody who's written to me. I'm okay, don't worry, follow the rules, stay at home, everything's going to be fine. But he is one of a number of players now who have been affected, Leicester players as well. Of course, three of those players have been quarantined, for want of a better word. But gents, Ben, I'll come to you first. What are your thoughts on what Boris Johnson is saying, what Ralf Hasenhüttl is saying, and how this might affect the Premier League moving forward?
Well, I think that, you know, speaking as someone who, you know, a fan and a member of the public more than anything else, I think that ultimately it's going to be it's a very difficult decision because clubs are in a very difficult position. If you start to cancel games or rearrange games, that's one thing. Then that starts to interfere with other elements of scheduling. So, you know, potentially a season will be pushed further into the summer, and then that would have knock-on effects for other tournaments. But then in addition to that, if you start playing games behind closed doors, then what happens? Because then you start losing money because, you know, fans will want refunds. But I think the most important thing out of all of this is that really the public's health is the most important thing. Well, I think we're going to get mixed messages. I think that's fair. That, you know, I'm not hugely surprised by that. But I think that in terms of, you know, I would much rather stay calm, follow the advice of medical professionals, and just ensure that everyone stays as healthy as possible. You know, for example, my dad has underlying health conditions. If he goes to a game and he catches something, it could be quite serious. So I think kind of hurt feelings and lost revenue is kind of secondary to actually, you know, if someone was to kind of catch something quite dicey. That's just my view on it.
Thank you, Ben. You make a good point as well. Of course, there are many people with parents, with grandparents now that do attend football matches and are now second-guessing themselves as to whether they should go to games this weekend. Steve, from your perspective as a football fan, is any part of you thinking, do you know what, maybe I shouldn't go to the ground this weekend? Maybe I shouldn't make that away trip because of the current situation?
I guess there's always a part of you that will have doubts for something like this. I mean, at the age of 36, I kind of think, well, shouldn't be in a situation where it's going to be serious for me. But at the same time, I mean, you just never know. And I mean, I think as Ben mentioned, the mixed messages that you're getting, kind of across the world, really, in terms of, I mean, you've got sports in America the NBA is basically shut down for the foreseeable future. MLS has shut down for a month or so. And obviously we're seeing stadia across Europe being shut down. I think the Dutch league's just announced it's going into a month's sort of period with no games. And you kind of think, well, hang on, it's only us in Scotland that are still kind of plodding along as usual. While, yeah, obviously we've got medical experts and they're ultimately the ones whose advice we should be listening to. You do kind of think, well, other countries have got medical experts too, and most of the other countries are doing something different to what we're doing. So that's kind of the only real sort of major concern I have, I think.
Okay, Steve, Ben, thank you very much for your opinions there. We are talking about coronavirus. We are going to move on, though, because it is all, of course, about the football. We must remember that as well. Like you said, health is first and foremost. But on this, the Southampton Fan Show, we are going to reflect on that game against Newcastle. We're going to look ahead to Norwich. Bit of takeover talk to and a bit of fun to throw in the mix.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
At Love Sport, we call...
Love Sport.
It's a Southampton Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, joined by Ben Stroud of the Archers Road End blog. We've also got Steve Grant on the line too, as well, from Total Saints. Now, gents, we are going to get into the game quickly against Newcastle last week. Of course, it was a 1-0 defeat at home. Southampton down to 10 men because of that dismissal of Moussa Djenepa. We'll get into that in a moment or two. It was a first home defeat against Newcastle since all the way back in 2004. Of course, Alan Saint-Maximin with the only goal of the game, a Jan Valeri error towards the end of the game, giving Newcastle the points. Alex McCarthy, however, with a phenomenal triple save in the first half. A penalty save too from Matt Ritchie. Had it not been for the goalkeeper, who knows what the score might have been before half time. He was the first Southampton goalkeeper to save a penalty at St Mary's in the Premier League since Kelvin Davis all the way back when, in September 2012 against Manchester United. That one was against Robin van Persie, I believe. A bit of a Panenka that Kelvin Davis read. But Alex McCarthy, great few saves on this occasion. Before we get into it, here is what Richard Lee had to say on the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
The first one, the decision to come off your line, spread, perfect decision at the point of execution, made himself very big. The second one, to be able to read the situation, being on the floor and get a little bit of spring almost off his backside in order to get up to his left and make a second save. It's the third save, which you don't see at first, But again, he's just read where the ball is likely to go, threw himself into an area, barely even looking at the ball because he's not able to, and for it to hit his hand and just go around the post. Three top-class saves, one after the other. Absolutely brilliant. The penalty save as well. Full stretch down to his left. Used that 6'5" frame. So powerful. I got to work with him for a period of time at Brentford. Now, albeit it wasn't the best period of time for him. Had a tough run. But I could see there a lot of the credentials that he's got. He's got a lot of the qualities you'd want in a top-class goalkeeper. That four fantastic saves, and certainly as a triple save, I can't remember any better.
Richard Lee there speaking on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. You can find that every Saturday here on Love Sport at 11 p.m. You'll struggle, he said, to find a better triple save than that ever, he believes, in the history of football, certainly this season. Ben, it wasn't bad, was it, from McCarthy?
It was an excellent save, and he had an excellent first half. Had a good game, really. I don't think that the fact that we lost was on him at all. He got some criticism the week before during the West Ham game, and that was fair. Sometimes we can go a little bit overboard as fans with our criticism of players. McCarthy, on the whole, over the season has been very good. He's performed very strongly, and. And Saturday's display was absolutely fantastic. And the great thing about the penalty is that often when you look at penalties, you can look at them and go, well, you know, the penalty taker hit a soft penalty. Well, that was a poor penalty. Well, that was at a really convenient height for the goalkeeper. That was just a very good save. And, you know, he did his job and he performed excellently on Saturday, as did most of the team, I felt. McCarthy was definitely the standout performer for me on Saturday.
Let's touch on Moussa Djenepo as well. He came back in difficult circumstances, and part of this is, you know, Southampton with injuries at the moment. I think that he recognised the club was struggling a bit in that number 10 position, if you can call it that. He came back, of course, after the sad loss of his mum. He'd spent the previous week out, but decided that he wanted to play. Ralf Hasenhüttl had alluded to the fact that he was starting to smile in training, chose to play him. It was just half an hour in when he was sent off, initially given a yellow card, of course, and then it went to VAR. And he was given his marching orders. And it was quite difficult to see, wasn't it, him leaving the pitch, putting his shirt over his head, quite visibly still emotional, as anybody would be. And the fans giving him something of a standing ovation. You saw him go down the tunnel. I think it was Sofiane Boufal who gave him a big hug and a kiss as he left the field. But tough afternoon for him.
I think it was a very tough afternoon for him. It was really a credit to him to turn up and play. Family always comes first, and losing his mum must, you know, at such a young age for him must be an incredibly tragic thing to go through. But turning up and playing shows the type of character that he is. You know, there are various reports of you know, what a good, and I think that Ralf has kind of stated, you know, what he brings to the club, you know, off the pitch and on the training field as well as on the pitch. And it was just unfortunate. It was a rash tackle. It was probably, I would say, it's tough to say. I do think it was dangerous, but not deliberate. So, yeah, you know, I have seen red cards given for that. It's just incredibly bad luck for him. And I think the issue, and I think the reason that the fans were in such uproar when it originally happened, was that once again the fans were left waiting for 2 minutes while there was a lot of faffing around, and then a decision that you thought had been made and been settled was then reviewed and upgraded to a red. And to be honest, it killed the game.
It certainly did kill the game, and we won't go down the VAR road. I think we're all occupied by coronavirus. We don't need VAR to be going into this mix as well, Ben. It's quite unbelievable the situations that we're seeing with VAR this season, but I guess the less said about that one, the better. Steve, I want to come on to you with regards to Shea Adams and Oriol Romeu, a story that I saw this week, and the fact that they turned out for the under-23s. Now, this was at their request. They wanted to get some game time. They went to Ralf Hasenhüttl. He said, listen, this wasn't my my decision. These guys came to me. They both played a part in the goal. Shea Adams scoring, which this season, of course, hasn't happened in the senior side. So certainly good to see that. But great to see the attitude of these senior players going, do you know what? No, we'll play for the reserves because essentially that's what it is. And actually what this has done as well is make Ralph Hasenhüttl look at it and go, do you know what? We could probably do this a bit more with our first teamers, and has made him second guess the schedule and gone back to the guys and said, listen, maybe we should restructure the way the games are played to give players who aren't getting first team opportunities more opportunities in our second string.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously we'd have to do it within the confines of whatever the slightly random selection criteria are for the under-23s competition, because I think you're I'm assuming there's a limit to the number of overage players you can throw in there at any one time. But certainly it's encouraging to see players that are on the certainly sort of on the fringes and not getting much game time, wanting to, I mean, A, keep themselves sharp, because while you can spend as much time on the training ground as you like, nothing kind of reproduces the sort of match sharpness that you have when you're playing in a game against an opponent who's trying to stop you, and B, the sort of desire to want to kind of prove themselves and show that they're kind of in form and ready to play when called upon. I mean, as we've seen, we've kind of hit a period where all of a sudden we're getting a few injuries, so you never know when either of those two might be required to come in and play two or three games sort of on the bounce.
Are you surprised, Ben, by Romeo losing his place, essentially? I know that James Ward-Prowse and Højbjerg have developed quite the partnership in the middle of the park there. Romeo, a decent player, of course, comes from good stock, has played, what, in excess of 120-odd games now for Southampton. Are you surprised that he's kind of been stepped out of the team in recent weeks?
Yes and no. I would say that he's a great player and he's a good character to have around the club, and his commitment and his willingness to play in the reserves to the under-23s to keep match sharpness is kind of testament to his character. My question mark is that I think that Romeo thrives in teams that play a possession style of football, a more slower, deliberate style of football. Whereas Hasenhüttl prefers playing a high press. He prefers playing with players who are very quick on the ball. And Auriel, he's a great blocker. He can be a great stopper. But he's not the most... he's not the quickest player when it comes to getting the ball forward or transitioning play. Whereas Højbjerg and James Ward-Prowse are much better at that. So I think it's a tactical reason that he's not in the side. I don't think it's down to making repeated errors. I just genuinely think he's a good player that just doesn't fit the style of our team.
Another player, of course, who hasn't had minutes recently, Steve, is Nathan Redmond, still out with an injury. I wanted to touch on a video I saw going around social media this week, and part of me hates the fact I'm asking this question, but I feel like it's necessary just because of the run that Southampton have been on in recent weeks. Now, you're probably aware of the video. It was out by Joe, the Male Lifestyle channel, and it involved Jack Stevens. It involved Armstrong with regards to being involved in the prank. Nathan Redmond and Shane Long were behind the camera as well. But Jack Stevens, it was all in aid of Unibet and a partner of Southampton, and they basically played a prank on Jack Stevens and made him do all this stuff, which was for a laugh because Shane Long and Nathan Redmond were giving the instructions to Rocket of Soccer AM previously, who was actually instructing Jack Stevens and kept calling him Steven. Now, it was funny and I did laugh at it, but as a fan, does any part of you look at that and go, fellas, listen, we're not on the best run at the moment, you should just be focusing on football?
No, I don't mind it, to be honest. I think ultimately, while football obviously serious business and all this, and players will obviously take it seriously when it's kind of the right time to do so. But I think having sort of a bit of downtime and a bit of relaxation and having a bit of a laugh. I think that can only help at times. I think when you, I mean, if morale is low because of the results, I mean, I'm not sure I necessarily see that from what I've seen on the pitch. But if for whatever reason the morale was low, then having something like that and obviously everyone having a bit of a giggle at the video afterwards, I think that sort of thing is probably only like to help rather than hinder. And I'm not one of these sorts who kind of thinks that when results are going against you, players should just kind of batten down the hatches and become hermits and not live their sort of normal lives and things like that.
I completely agree with you, to be honest, Steve. I think you're bang on there. I think the fact that we could even consider it might affect their concentration is probably a non-starter, really. Ben, I want to very quickly, I did say we were going to touch on some takeover talk. It's not necessarily takeover talk, really, but Mr. Zhisheng has, of course, said recently that the club have not been put up for sale, but there's an asking price of around $250 million. This story has gone around. He's done an interview with the Financial Times as well. He said, listen, I'm not treating Southampton as a pig to be fattened and sold. I'm treating it as a child. I'm now your father, etc., etc. All these quotes have, of course, gone around. Now, this is more of an invitation, isn't it? It's not saying I want to sell the club. It's basically saying if anybody has the money, you're more than welcome to make an offer. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, that's very much how I see it. I don't think it's really worked out for him the way that he's wanted. I think that a great deal of his communication gets lost in translation. Speaking personally, I do a lot of work with Chinese businesses. And often their communication can sound very, philosophical, as that Financial Times piece kind of illustrates when they kind of start to speak about football or business in that sense. But I don't think it's worked out for him. I think he's maybe realised that this isn't the way that this isn't kind of a viable kind of transaction for him. It's not working for him. It's not really working for the fans, if I'm honest, because it doesn't work if you have an owner who feels distant. But the question will be who comes in. And that's really the key question. Whatever happens, I don't think it's going to be something that's going to, going to be something that happens overnight. I think that we're probably in this one for the long haul, but in a good way. I kind of feel like it because it might actually conversely actually protect our position and protect some of our key players, because the last thing that an owner would want to do would be diminish the value of his asset by, say, not tying down a manager to a long-term contract or not tying down a key player to a longer deal. So could work out for us okay in the short term, but in the midterm, if he's not getting sold and he really starts to disengage, I think that could be the bigger issue.
Certainly have to watch this space. Ben, it's been great having you on for another week. Before we go, we'll very, very quickly look ahead to the game with Norwich this weekend. Of course, it's just 3 points since the start of February. I'll push you purely for a score prediction.
I'm going for 2-1 to Southampton.
Nice. Like that a lot. Ben Stroud from the Archers Road End blog, thank you very much for joining us. Steve, I'm going to come to you too. It is a big game this weekend, of course. Ralph Hasenhüttl, not particularly happy, really, in his press conferences of late. 34 points, still 6 away from that coveted 40. But a win today would just take you a step closer to safety, of course. How do you see it going at the weekend?
I don't expect defences to be on top, that's for sure. Both sides have already gone past the half century in terms of goals conceded. So, I think the strikers on both sides have been licking their lips. I think our away form is obviously better than our home form. Norwich are bottom for a reason. I mean, I don't think they're as bad as 21 points would suggest, but they are still fairly comfortably bottom. So I think we've got to go there and kind of try and assert ourselves, really. If we manage to do that, keep the crowd a bit quiet, they'll kind of lapse in all their sort of morale will sap a little bit, and we can kind of take control of it. So I think a 3-1 win.
Lovely stuff, Steve Grant. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been the Southampton Fan Show. We'll be back next week at 8 p.m. with all the reaction from the weekend's games.
Love Sport. If you're listening to Love Sport London, retune your radio now. From the 31st of March, you'll only be able to listen to Love Sport on digital radio on our national station. All your favourite shows across the UK on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.